This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Someone wants to ask why Dome sounds the way she does when she gives an interview. Someone wants to talk about emails, email responses, frozen pizza. I mean, there's a lot going on in the final hour. Even my son's names. Let's touch on this one first. Jesse. Why is it that every time when Kamala Harris is giving an interview, she looks like she's ready to start bawling, like she's getting ready to go into her confessional? So there is a trend, and I don't know if you've noticed it, but I'm about to point it out to you. And now that I point it out to you, you're going to notice it a lot. And here's what the trend is. DEI hires, wherever they are, they will often, say things like, I'm really qualified. I'm majorly qualified. I'm very, very accomplished and qualified. Well, why do you feel the need to say that? A qualified person doesn't feel the need to say that. Why do they so often feel the need to say that? I'm very qualified. I'm very qualified. I'm super qualified. And it'll be some obvious DEI hire who got the job because it's a black woman or something like that. Why she feel the need to say that? Well, she knows deep down that she's not qualified. She knows she's in a position she doesn't deserve. It's an insecurity thing that she gets up and says, I'm not qualified, or I'm very qualified, I'm very qualified. It comes from insecurity. Dome, Kamala Harris, as we've talked about many times, she came up as a woman of color in the California system. That means she has been handled with kid gloves her entire political life because you can't ever attack a saintly black woman. It's just not allowed in the Democrat Party. Well, now she has reached the age of 60 and she cannot speak eloquently about any issues. Do you realize how bonkers that is? That as a politician, remember, she was a United States senator. She was the attorney general of California. She was then the vice president of the United States. Do you have any idea how much information you would accidentally run into as in those positions? How many things that just by being in the same room, how much information you would pick up on every single subject, economics and foreign policy and military and border and on everything, you would just existing for that many years in these roles, you would pick things up. And yet Dome can't speak in depth about a single subject. Dome, the reason she sounds so uncomfortable, the reason, remember we used to have the Kamala laugh on the soundboard? Do we not have it anymore, Chris? Chris, I don't think we have it. Yeah, we took it off. We took it off. Remember we used to have the Dome laugh on the soundboard? And we put it on there because she's always doing this weird cackle and things like that. It's a nervous laugh. It's an uncomfortable laugh. What's that feeling like when you're 60 and you sit down for anything, a speech, podcast, interview, whatever, and you know you don't know anything? You're not qualified for the job. If I took you right now and I put you in Elon Musk's chair, hey, you're now the head of SpaceX, Tesla, every other company Elon Musk is involved in. He's retiring. You're the big man now. You're the CEO. How would you act? How would you feel during your first board meeting when all the other vice presidents and things like that were sitting in there and they wanted to hear from you? Do you think you'd have some nervous laughter? Do you think you would have this deep insecurity like, I don't know what any of these charts and graphs mean. I don't know how to run this company. I don't know how to. Do you think that would be a wonderful feeling? Be a terrible feeling. These DEI hires, they all feel like that. Jesse, I always find it fascinating what the reasons are for people's first names. Why did you name your sons James and Luke? Why is your dog named Fred? And why are you named Jesse? James and Luke are, we wanted manly, simple, biblical names. That's why. Manly, simple, and biblical. That's what we were going for. So there you go. Fred is named Fred because we let our meathead sons name the dog. And so now we have the biggest, dumbest, most useless ball of fluff on the planet. And on top of that, his name is Fred. And he just throws, we had to take him to the vet the other day. He got bit by a snake. He's fine. But got bit by a snake. Had to take him into the vet. Every time you go to the vet, the entire clinic comes out to see Fred. This is how pathetic he is. And then he goes in there and throws himself on everybody and then whimpers and whines when he has to get any kind of a shot or anything. Oh, Chris, it's the most dramatic thing in the world. And it's like, I don't think there's a single other dog or cat in there that gets any attention until Fred leaves. They all just surround this big moron. And so not only is he this big moron, the boys named him Fred. I am named Jesse after Jesse James. So I'll tell you what kind of father I had. Hey, Jesse. I am a former divorcee, now remarried to a wonderful woman. We have a great marriage. We parent two little anti-communists. Despite my good current life and relatively smooth past divorce, I still feel like I'm kind of a failure when everyone around me has remained on their first marriage and I'm the only guy on his second marriage. What do you say about the matter? Because his name is Eli. Eli, I think you gave away the problem when you said, when everyone around me has remained on their first marriage. You know, a guaranteed path to unhappiness, whether that you are young, old, man, woman, child, whatever, a guaranteed path to dissatisfaction with your life. You know what it is? Comparing your life to everyone else's. Don't do that. Don't do that. Your life is going to be different and it's going to look different than everyone else's life does. You're supposed to walk a different path. That's the way life goes. And by the way, all those other people on their first marriages, they all have problems too. Maybe the marriage didn't blow up, but they all have problems too. Everybody has problems. Everybody's done dumb things, bad things, things they wish I could take back, things they would change about the past. Everybody. When you spend your time looking around, no, you're a girl, you're a woman. Oh, she's prettier. You're a dude. Well, he makes more money. That is just a guaranteed path to unhappiness. If I don't do that, happy as a clam. I've had people say to me before, well, hey, this guy's show is bigger, something like that. I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. Why would it bother me? I get to screw off on the radio for 3 hours a day. I get to raise a fist.
I don't want the Michigan hand after your August primary. I want the Michigan fist. I want that Michigan fist.
I get to screw off for a living. Someone else makes a better living screwing off. Good for him. Jesse, would it be possible to let people know if their email is going to be read and in what segment? No, it's not possible. You see, the goal is, in radio, there is this thing, and that thing is called TSL, right? TSL. You ever heard of it? Let me explain what it is. TSL stands for time spent listening, okay? So in general, you've heard of ratings. What are the ratings? That's a rough way to tell how many people are listening in whatever market. You know what ratings are. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. People will look at ratings. They want ratings. You want more people listening, obviously. More people listening means more revenue coming in for the advertisers, means it's better for the show. Everybody wins, right? But one thing people don't understand is TSL. They want you listening. I want you listening. Everybody does who does what I do. Wants you listening longer. And look, most people listen on their way home, or some people listen. A lot of people listen all 3 hours. A lot of people don't. I'll catch the first hour. I caught 20 minutes on my way to school. I caught 45 minutes as I was going to sleep last night. But what you want is an ever-increasing amount of time spent listening. It not only means more eyeballs, more ears. It also means the show is interesting enough or good enough that you don't want to turn it off. It's a reflection of the quality of the show. Does that make sense? So why would I ever let you know when your email is going to be read? I want you sitting there on the edge of your seat wondering whether or not I'm going to read your email. So there you go. Chris, we should email that guy and tell him we just... No, don't. I'm kidding. Anyway, I want you to go get on a male vitality stack from Chalk. That's what I want. I want you to do that because it's life-changing. Life-changing. Unless you'd rather have a fist.
I don't want the Michigan hand after your August primary. I want the Michigan fist. I want that Michigan fist.
I don't. Because my T levels are through the roof because I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day, and you should too. You are drinking synthetic estrogens. They're in the plastics. It's freaking everywhere. What do you do to combat it? You take natural herbal supplements and you feel like $1 million. That's what you do. Go to Chalk, C-H-O-Q, and get a subscription. They have female vitality stacks for the ladies, and that's a small sampling of what they have. The best from the natural, hardcore anti-communists at Chalk. C-H-O-Q. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Let us continue, shall we? You know what? Pause on that really quickly. I want to remind you what we're up against. This is a congressional candidate, Bob Brooks in Pennsylvania.
I can't disagree with the commission. I believe those are the path to success in getting control of Donald Trump. We need to get things ready. We need to pull people in front of these commissions and the parties, and we need to be able to get things ready for in 2028 when we take control of the White House, that we can just hand this stuff over to the DOJ and the prosecutors can take it and run from there.
They're going to arrest us. As many as humanly possible. The average everyday Democrat demands it. That's why every Democrat politician runs on it and promises it. They are promising to do worse next time. It's what they do. Dear Zipline Wuss, you know, that's not very nice. I confided in you. You often recommend a career in trades for young people. When people hear trades, they often think industrial jobs. I'd also like to suggest the culinary arts. There's good money in food service, and AI isn't taking these jobs anytime soon. His name is Matt. I think that's wonderful advice. Wonderful advice. Everyone knows I'm a food dork anyway, but I've always been fascinated with culinary stuff, being a chef. No, I could never do it. I don't have the skills for that, but I always thought it would be a good career, and you catch on at the right place. Those guys make real good money. Chefs can make really, really, you can make solid money. That's a solid living. And think about this. Think about if you become a chef and get a few years of experience. You can live anywhere. Look, pick your state. Pick your area of the state. They need chefs. Shoot, maybe you're tired of living in America, which I don't know why you would be.
You know, freedom is not free.
But let's say you're tired of living in America. They need chefs all over the world. Fascinating profession. Make some good scratch for yourself. Dear Jesse, I appreciate your historical perspective, seeing the big picture. I'm hoping you can answer this question. How often do authoritarian countries, whether communist or fascist or whatever, democratically vote themselves into that form of government? And in contrast, how often does a strong man take over by force and threat? Do you think we are in the process of voting in leadership that promises a good life to all, but will actually bring death and destruction? I hope not. She says, I hope not, but I think so. Thank you for your fearless strength, good man. Well, there's a combination of things going on here because both things are true. Historically, people do choose these commie left-wing governments when they are extremely dissatisfied with what's going on, and an evil communist realizes this and stands up and promises them the world, equality, and all this other crap. And so, yes, people do. A lot of these Latin American countries, keep in mind, they chose their communist leaders. Remember, Venezuela was insanely prosperous. The Venezuelan people went out and voted in communism. Now they're eating their pets. People do choose it. But not often. Oftentimes, the people will flirt with it. And what they'll do is they'll let the communists get close enough to power, and then the communists will simply steal power. If you let them close enough, they'll reach out and grab it and steal it. They'll steal elections. They're doing it right now in Brazil and all these other places all over the world. Once you allow them to get established enough in power, then because they have no moral framework at all, they'll just steal every election going forward without a second thought. It's a combination of both. Sometimes the people vote themselves in, and then sometimes the communists steal it. You don't see a ton of a strong man taking over and becoming a communist country that way. You don't see that unless you want to count the Bolsheviks and what they did in the Soviet Union. Even then, though, the people kind of flirted with it, a little communism. But then the Russians figured out that these Bolsheviks are really soulless, evil monsters. We probably don't want that, but by then the communists were close enough to power to reach out and grab it. Close enough, violent enough, willing to do whatever, kill whatever, pillage. Again, when you have no morals whatsoever, it gives you a ton of freedom politically. It's a combination of both. Hope that answers the question. Jesse, since you must have some knowledge in the subject of what you're going to portray in your doctor title, might I suggest genealogy? I don't know anything about genealogy. Absolutely nothing. I could probably pretend, I would guess, Chris. And I had no idea it was spelled like that, by the way. I could probably pretend. I really think archaeology is the sweet spot. I'm telling you, it adds an element of mystery to it. You know, not everyone just comes out and says it.
I don't want the Michigan hand after your August primary. I want the Michigan fist. I want that Michigan fist.
Speaking of awkward, Dome, I should have played this earlier when we were talking about it. You can hear it in her voice. She knows she doesn't belong. So she's always trying to pretend and laugh.
I think it's okay for us to be a bit transactional too.
She does that thing. Too. She's done it multiple times. That kind of attempt at a cutesy elevation at her voice.
I think it's okay for us to be a bit transactional too. And to say, I'm going to get mine also.
I'm going to get mine. Vote Dome. More emails next.
Jesse Kelly.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email us your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Jesse, there's been a lot of doom and gloom in the news lately, and since you're so vain, I decided for my Dr. Jesse question, I'd like to know, what's your favorite car? I'm not a car guy. I want to be a car guy. It's like, remember when I told you I wanted to be a poker player, but I'm not a poker player because I can't stand losing money. I want to have a favorite car, like a dream car that I want one day. I just want working air conditioning. I want it to be fast. Fast enough. I don't need some, you know, Lamborghini or something like that. I want to have good acceleration, nice, comfortable ride, quiet. Bluetooth that works, so I don't have to pick up my phone like some peasant. Just not a car guy. I look at old, like, muscle cars, and I admire them, but then I'm always reminded of what car guys like Jewish producer Chris tell me, that they're just maintenance nightmares, and that I don't get down with. What, Chris? What? Chris said just swap the engine and the tranny. Yeah, buddy, I'll just start moving around some lug nuts and just swap out the engine. No, I'm not doing it. See, this is it. I don't want to add work to my life when it comes to my car. I don't love it enough to make it a headache. I want one that runs. That's what I want. Chris said it's called a hobby. I know it's called a hobby, Chris. I'm working on finding one, okay? What's your favorite color? I don't have a favorite color since I'm not five. What's your favorite flavor of ice cream? Chocolate peanut butter. I'm a chocolate peanut butter freak. And when I say this, I know someone's going to go do some email or some research. Someone's going to go do some research, and they're going to email me and yell at me about this company and tell me they're dirty commies or something. But Häagen-Dazs, you ever heard of Häagen-Dazs? Häagen-Dazs does a chocolate peanut butter ice cream that is phenomenal. It is phenomenal. Yeah, chocolate peanut butter. What's your favorite book all time? I could never narrow that down. Jesse, suppose Iran creates a nuclear bomb. Who would be the first to receive it? Israel, the USA, or would Iran choose a non-nuclear power? What about retaliation? It makes my feeble brain hurt. All right. Who would receive an Iranian nuclear bomb? Well, let's get this out of the way. I don't know. Nobody knows. And you probably can't put anything past the Iranian regime. However, there are a lot of countries on Earth who have nuclear weapons. And they're not all nice countries. North Korea has nuclear weapons. You could make an argument. North Korea is the most evil government on the planet. You could make that argument. North Korea has a nuclear weapon. Why haven't they used one? Why not use one? Well, even psychos, murderers, evil people, bad people understand that if you use a nuclear weapon on anyone, the world will collectively freak out and use all their nuclear weapons on you, and it's over. I don't know that Iran would use a nuclear weapon at all, because they would understand what the blowback for that would be. Now, I don't know that for a fact. Would they nuke Israel off the planet? Maybe. Launch one at LA? Possibly. I don't know. I can't tell you. I'm not inside the mind of these people. But I know that nuclear weapons have only ever been used one time, and that was 80 years ago, and they haven't been used since. Nuclear weapons are insurance. Insurance against countries like us coming in and wiping out your leadership. When you hear people who are thrilled about what we're doing in Iran, get that, they'll explain it by telling you how evil the Iranian regime is. And they're correct about that. Evil, wrong, torture, murder, all those things, all that's correct. But if you want to watch their eyes glaze over, say to that person, or maybe this is you, so I'll say it to you. Okay, well, why didn't we go to North Korea first? North Korea is every bit as evil as any country on the planet. Why are we not regime changing in North Korea? Because they have nuclear weapons. That's why. North Korean nuclear weapons are insurance against some other country coming in and removing your leadership. The threat of it, don't make me use my nukes. I've got nukes. The threat of it is so much that it scares countries into leaving you alone. You can make the argument, and it's a very valid argument, Iran's supreme leader and all their leadership got bombed to smithereens because they didn't work fast enough to get a nuclear weapon. If they had had one, we probably would be a little bit more hesitant to park three carrier groups close off the coast of Iran. Well, relatively close. They're far enough away to get it, stay out of missile range. Jesse, when the president of Mexico or any other country advocates for their citizens in the USA, doesn't it imply her jurisdiction over those people, and therefore a case could be made that all those immigrants under her jurisdiction could not be subject to our jurisdiction? Perhaps she would do better for her people to stay silent, but don't give her the answer to that test. No, it's actually a very good question. It does imply that. And I hate that the looting of my country is so brazen. She speaks that way because there are all kinds of Mexicans in this country here illegally. I'm not talking about legal ones. Mexicans in this country here illegally, and they send money back home, remittances. They send a huge amount of money back home, and that money benefits the Mexican economy. That's the looting of the United States of America. Countries around the world do this. China does this. India does this. They send people here, and then people earn money here, and they wire that money overseas back home into their economies. So their people come here, earn money, blood suck our money out of the economy, and send it back home. The constant ongoing looting of this country by every single place on the planet is something that drives me up the freaking wall, and that it's so brazen. It's so out in the open. Some of these countries do this stuff, this remittance stuff. It's a matter of public policy. It's not like we have some secret cable from a spy agency where we revealed their evil plans. Their government officials will talk about it on camera. It's what they do. Drives me nuts. Jesse, would you rather a body that could eat as many calories as you want without ever suffering any negative consequences, but you knew you would die on your birthday at 65, or become Dictator Jesse of Canada for 5 years, complete with your 500-man security team, so you can do whatever you want? I have no interest in saving Canada. Now, listen, I like Canada, and I like the wonderful Canadian people, and there are many of them up there. But my passion is for America. I always come back to this when people are, why don't you talk more about this country or that country or this thing going on? You should know by now, I am an American through and through. What, Chris? What? Chris said, it's now the Republic of Jesse. But I don't want my own country. I want America. I don't want a separate republic. I don't want Canada. I don't want Mexico. I don't want a Caribbean island. I want the United States of America to be strong and free. I just don't ever sit and ponder other nations and what they're going through. Oh, but this country needs it. Too bad, so sad. My country needs things. Everyone come home. All right. National divorce. Next.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Hey, Jesse, I'm all for national divorce, but all my pension comes from the federal government, both as retired and recovering federal agent and from the VA. How would that work? I'm willing to starve for my grandkids' benefit, but I prefer not to. Well, I have great news for you, buddy. National divorce is not going to happen. We can sit around and we can dream about it. We can talk about sitting down with the dirty communists and just coming to an understanding that we have irreconcilable differences and we should just divide up the assets and the liabilities and go our separate ways, and you can go have Sodom and Gomorrah and we'll try to be a decent country. But that's how rational people think. We're not dealing with rational people here. We're dealing with evil people. The communists are probably not going to let us go. They have to destroy everything. Even if they did agree to a divorce, it would be 5 minutes and they'd be infiltrating our country, attacking our country. The story of East and West Germany, it's actually fascinating when it comes to this. You know, after World War II, Germany was divided up, East Germany, West Germany. East Germany was communist, West Germany was free. And they couldn't just exist peacefully beside each other. East Germany was always attacking West Germany, infiltrating, getting involved. Communists really are demonic. They are. It's a demonic religion of Satan. And they cannot control their demonic urges. They cannot control them. They don't want to live peacefully next to you. They want to hurt you. They want to destroy everything, conquer everything, because it's satanic. It's how these people think. It's satanic. I'm telling you right now, these people are destroyers. It's all they think about. It's all they want to do. You're not going to live next to one and have it be okay. It's not how it works. Bronco, you are the master of double entendres, the master of them. That's all. It says his name is Will. Oh, 3-5 Marine. How about that? United States Marine. Chris, what's a double entendre? You know, it doesn't matter.
I don't want the Michigan hand after your August primary. I want the Michigan fist. I want that Michigan fist.
Jesse, oh, this guy's mad at me. Remember, we interviewed Savannah Hernandez yesterday, that TPUSA reporter who got assaulted by the communists. This guy's upset. Jesse, you interview a woman from TPUSA who was attacked and assaulted by a communist regime, and at the end you give a shout-out to cheese bombers? Correction, Church's Chickens, jalapeno cheese bombers. Not just cheese bombers. Let's show some respect. And then he goes on to say, what the beep is wrong with you? Is that all you have to say about this incident? That's why no one can ever take you seriously. If you're a comedian, don't be I don't even understand what he's starting to ramble here. I don't see to have a voice for what is going wrong with these insane communist activists. I know you could care less about what I think, as you always say. No. Couldn't care less. Couldn't care less. Not could. Could doesn't make sense. That would mean it'd be possible for me to care less. Couldn't what, Chris? I'm helping him. Couldn't care less. Anyway, he goes on. It's the potty word for butt, who doesn't care about anything except what you feed your face. You're not a person to be taken seriously. This is all too obvious. But of course, this is why you're sickeningly wealthy now. Sickeningly wealthy, Chris. How about that? That's right. I have all the cheese bombers I can eat. And you walk on water, iHeartRadio. I'm just a loser listener, one of the people you don't care two beeps about. And instead of the number two, he spelled it T-O. Buddy, it's T-W-O. T-W-O. Sure, you're not reading in the air. I think he meant to say on the air. Probably had a couple beers before he sent this one in. I don't care if you do, but I know you won't. And he didn't say I could use his name, so I won't, but sounds like a guy who could use some cheese bombers to me, Chris. Seriously, you know you can get them. You can get the family size. And I should have probably said something yesterday in the interest of safety. I like spicy foods. Jewish producer Chris likes spicy foods. Corey's kind of a wuss, but we won't go into that. We can handle a lot of cheese bombers. If you're not a spicy food person, I'm going to try to, look, it's Friday evening. We don't need to go into too many details. You might regret it the next day if you eat too many of them. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to sit down in a pool of lava, but if you're not used to spicy foods, your insides may be upset with how hot those cheese bombers are, and there might be consequences. All right, I'll put it that way. There might be consequences. Jesse, I'm thinking about how most Eastern cultures think in terms of decades, if not centuries, and tend to have long memories. I was thinking about the defeat of the Ottomans at the gates of Vienna. 400 years later, they're still angry. Could the invasion of Europe be their revenge playing out? Well, of course. Remember, the forces of Islam, especially under the Ottoman Empire, the forces of Islam have wanted to conquer Christian Europe for centuries, as you pointed out. Religious wars never stop. There's always one going on. There always will be one going on. Religions competing with each other, trying to dominate one, snuff out the other, has always happened. And of course, the invasion of Europe and what's happened in Europe is simply part of that. And the sad truth of what has happened in Europe is it's probably over. Once you get to the point where they are, where it's that bad, where there's that many of them, it's probably over. All those years, all those wars, all those battles fought, lives lost, and they ended up conquering it with immigration. Communists got elected in those countries, imported them, invited them in, conquered by immigration. A sad, sad friggin' tale, isn't it? But it is a good lesson in it for us. Beware of the imports, and don't forget, discriminate, discriminate, discriminate. One of the great words in the English language. I want to leave you with this.
I don't want the Michigan hand after your August primary. I want the Michigan fist. I want that Michigan fist.
That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.